Welcome, everybody. TJ here. This is our Tuesday night call. Normally, this time slot is reserved for just our premium members, but we're also extending an invitation to our free members of urlaw.org. Urlaw.org is the sponsor of the call. If you are not a member of urlaw.org, be sure to sign up for at least a free membership while you're visiting the site. And we also have a couple of resources for you. Those of you who don't know what UR Law is, basically we're a, like think of us like a club almost, an association of people to get together and talk about these kind of legal issues that many people struggle with. I mean, if you don't know somebody that's dealing with a legal issue, then you probably know somebody that's not alive because from the time you're born to the time you die, you're going to be dealing with legal issues. You know, you're very used to your name every time you sign your name, every time you write a check, every time you open a bank account, every time you drive drive down the road, use a driver's license or file your taxes or all kinds of things, even going to church because you're dealing with 501c3 corporations most of the time. So you're dealing with legal issues all the time, our country is dealing with a lot of important struggles right now that are related to our being the problem, actually. It's not the government so much as it's ourselves, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. As you all know, our call is not legal advice or accounting advice, although we discuss those kinds of issues. You're ultimately responsible for your own research and your own efforts, your own completion of these processes. We don't do anything for you. We simply try to give you resources and help you in your discussion and your thinking so that you can begin to see things for what they are. And if all goes right, hopefully Charles will get on the call here pretty quick because I do have a guest speaker coming on. If he's out there, he can speak up.
I am here.
You are here. All right, sir. Well, we'll get to you in just a couple of minutes if you'll please stand by, and I'll make an introduction, okay?
All righty.
All right, so as a prelude to the call tonight, first of all, we're going to talk about two major subjects. One is how to deal with court appearances. And then ultimately, in one special area, we'll discuss even how it might apply to foreclosures or a stand you can take regarding foreclosures. It's kind of unique. And I actually, when I started the call off earlier, I had the idea to have this same discussion, and then an old friend of mine contacted me, Charles Renault, who's going to be speaking here with me in a minute. He brought us some really interesting points, and I said, that'll be a great part of our discussion tonight. So I think you're really going to enjoy the call tonight. I hope you came ready to take a lot of notes because a lot of what we're going to say isn't necessarily written down. So hopefully you'll have the resource of being able to listen to this call again. We always post it up, and it's recorded and available to both free members and premium members to go back and listen to. But I guarantee you tonight's call, you're going to be taking a lot of notes, so get ready. Most people, whether you're dealing with a traffic ticket, a tax issue, a child custody issue, anything that's going to possibly bring you into the legal system, you've got to know what's really going on. And frankly, very few people really do realize what's really going on. So I think you can appreciate the perspective of that our guest caller tonight is an ex-Chicago cop and knows about every trick there is in the book on both sides. So you're going to hear this from another point of view, not just from me. We've talked about this enough, but I want you to hear this from somebody else's point of view as well. But there's key areas that I want you to focus on. I think probably we'll start with just generally dealing with the court. And don't ask me after the call, does this apply to this and does this apply to that? When we speak about the court, we're talking about any kind of a court appearance. So be ready to take notes on that. Then we'll talk about some mortgage strategies and how to get those lenders to their knees to obey their master. But it's kind of an interesting little twist that we've come across here. So as far as announcements, I mentioned we were going to talk a little bit about some resources. One resource I always recommend everybody out there learn, whether you're starting or whether you're doing a case. We have people this week starting court cases, and maybe there is a situation where they do have to go in and deal with some of it. And I always recommend using the Jurisdictionary course, and that's urlaw.org/JD is the link to that if you ever want to look into that. There's lots of good education in that. That's just one resource. I'll talk, Chris, toward the end of the call about our business side of things, because a lot of people dealing with these financial struggles are partially in that situation because of their own issues with having sufficient income and so forth to get by. I know you have to raise families. You've got to have a house. You got to go from point A to point B and make your living. So, you know, I know what it's like. I mean, I'm a guy with several kids and, you know, got to pay the bills. So it's important to also discuss those kind of economic issues, and we've been talking about the Medicus program the last couple of calls out there. And, again, I'll mention that more toward the end because I don't want to hold off our main subject, but we'll talk about that if those of you want to stick around and listen to that portion of it. Okay, our guest caller tonight is Charles Rinal. He's a former Chicago police officer, and he's been really one of my he says he's a fan of mine. I'm a fan of his, so I don't know which is which, but I always appreciate it when I have an opportunity to visit with him and talk about what's going on and what's working out there and what we're doing to help people. And the beautiful thing about what I like about what Charles is doing in terms of his approach, and I think those of you who know me, you know my approach. If I can't keep it simple, it's not going to work because I'll get lost in the details. So I think Charles is of the same mindset. So, Charles, are you out there?
Oh, yes, and thank you so much for that nice introduction. I just hope people do understand what we're talking about and not blow it off as hot air. Everything I talk about, everything I write about, is absolute documented evidence, and I don't make this stuff up by any means. And it's in their own books. They got it dangling in front of us like a carrot. So we all just have to pay attention to every minute detail, because the language known as legalese is a different language. They use the words we think we know, but they change their meaning by 180 degrees.
Absolutely. So, I mean, most people get into this movement, they have no idea that I think there's currently 4 or 5 definitions of the United States. You just throw that into the middle of a sentence thinking you know what you're talking about, you're going to get yourself in some deep trouble if you miss it.
Exactly. You've got to watch the spelling of it. There are several United States, but the one I'm concerned about is the one that is United States Incorporated, and that's found in their own laws, too. It's a federal corporation, so we don't need to get into that. What I am concerned with a lot of people that I deal with, is these foreclosures. And I'm thinking, what is a foreclosure about? How can they foreclose on something they have no interest in whatsoever? Well, nor could they have. And I'll tell you why they couldn't have. Senate document number 43, the 43rd Congress, and it was session 1, where they made reference to this, and this is a law now, mind you, a Senate law that was passed back in 1933. It said the ownership of all property is in the state. Individual so-called ownership is only by virtue of government, i.e., law amounting to mere user. And use must be in accordance with law and subordinate, and you got that, subordinate as a slave to the plantation, to the necessities of the state. And I end the quotation there. This is their thing. They told us that nobody can own anything. That includes banks or anybody else. No companies, no corporations can own any property in this country, because the 48 governors of that time pledged all the land of their individual states to the corporation United States. So this is
actually sounds like they might do it. They're doing a liquidation of a bankruptcy or something like that, and everybody's turning in their assets.
everybody is trying to do that, but it wasn't everybody because none of us, none of our ancestors knew what was going on. They always kept us in the dark, as they do today. They own the media, which we listen to and have in our living room on a daily basis. So these folks, it's always been there. It's just folks haven't looked at it and read it. Well, I'm sorry to say things must be pretty boring for me because I go through all this stuff and read it. And then I say, holy cow. Yeah. And the hair on the back of my neck starts to stand up and I get really irritated. And I'm an ex-cop with an attitude, so anything
can happen.
Well,
I think that it's an important point to stress, too. What you're saying is, this stuff's out there. It's in the law. It's in black and white, quite literally, even defined in Black's Law. And that you can't ignore it. You can't just say, well, it's just not important. Of course it's important. And, of course, it has everything to do with how we resolve many of our issues.
Yes, no matter what it is, it's all been brainwashing through the media that they control, actually. You see, back, maybe 30 years ago now, there was about 185 owners of all the various media outlets, newspapers, magazines, radio, television stations, and all this stuff. 185 of them. Now, that's pretty difficult to get 185 to all agree on anything. It's like with the cops I worked with back home. You couldn't get 100 of them to agree to anything. So, anyhow, these people now have done their little salesmanship. They sold this outfit to that one and that one and that. And we have laws against monopolies, but that don't matter when you have money to do it. So, it's now down to 6 owners of all the media out there. So how hard is it to have 6 owner operators get together in a coffee shop and decide what's going to happen next? To verify that, I'm in front of my computers several hours a day. And I put up all the news broadcasts across the country, all the way from Washington State to Maine, and from the border up there in Minnesota all the way down to Florida. And all of these various newscasters, male and female, told the story verbatim, exactly word for word. So that told me somebody is writing that stuff for them, or they have to follow orders, otherwise they'll find themselves out of a job. So it's quite interesting. So when you look at the news or listen to it, do it very loosely. Do not take it to heart. Don't expect it to be truthful, because 9 times out of 10, it is not. In fact, rarely do they even get the geography correct. So, it's just one of those things that we just have to start standing up for ourselves and stop relying on somebody else to do things for us. We have to take the bull by the horns and get it out there. I mean, I really feel happy and relieved when I get people out of these foreclosures by using this law that they made.
Yeah, and it's not something, and guys, this isn't something that you would normally think of as, in terms of fighting your foreclosure. Most people are saying, well, I own it, by golly, and you don't, and I'm going to fight you over that. Well, the simple fact is you don't. You want proof of that? Look at your deed of trust. You're a tenant.
Exactly.
Approach it from that point of view, and you can actually then, see, they know you're going to miss the ball. They know that you're going to run around and you're going to miss you're going to go chasing down the note or something like that. And really, that's not the issue at all. And so
no.
I love what you've got here in terms of an approach to this.
The whole thing is when you use their own words against them, that makes you a hero. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that we have to do. We've got to actually, and I hate to say it, but take the time. I've been doing this research since 98, and actually I've known all along. I knew there was something wrong even when I was on the job, but I never, bothered with it because I had other things to do. I had TV to watch, or I had, I was a musician, so I was out there playing music. I was doing other things. So, all of these things, we just have to stop, take the time. It don't take that long, really. if we take 15 or 20 minutes a day just to pursue certain aspects of this stuff, we will learn so much, it will make the hair on the back of your head stand up, and you'll be darn right mad.
And this stuff is not hard to learn. Sometimes what's hard to get over is the disinformation and not go down the wrong rabbit hole. You know, unlike Neo in The Matrix, you know, they said follow the white rabbit, and you look where it led him. And here, but he led him to the truth ultimately because he followed the right white rabbit. So we're hoping that's kind of how you'll see some of the information we're talking about here. Can we talk? Maybe we should go through a couple of these different things. We have kind of a court scenario we were talking about today, and we're talking about a foreclosure scenario. Maybe the foreclosure one's actually a simpler one to talk about because they're really both simple if you keep them simple. I've heard people talk about these subjects and make them way too complicated. In fact, when you're done hearing what we're going to tell you tonight, you're going to be saying to yourself, well, there's got to be more to it than that. And I assure you, we're going to tell you exactly what to do. So just take good notes. So how do you want to start? Do you want to talk about this? For example, essentially you gave me a statement that's what really your claim is all about in a foreclosure. Do you want to go through that?
Actually, this relying on that Senate document, what we can do at that point, from that point, because we now have their attention when we refer to their own words, you go through it, and now you make what is known as a mechanics lien. I call it a possessory lien, and you do that with your county recorder, or you can do it with the Secretary of State, whichever you prefer. But you charge them. You say you will be glad to give up the home. That we're talking about a foreclosure now. You will be more than happy to give up the home and the property because you know very well that you are nothing more than a tenant there that has borrowed that property. But to make it habitable, you had to invest in all the things that make it habitable because you can't really go into a bedroom at night with no drapes on the windows and no way to cover yourself. You have to have electricity. You have, well, at least those of us of the modern day. But you have to have all of the goodies that we have around us, carpeting on the floor, furniture, etc., etc. All of these things make that home we live in habitable. If we didn't have them, it'd be pretty rough. I mean, you know, you'll have derelicts looking to get in there and stay for a while. So what you have got to do is itemize all of the things that you have put in that home or that dwelling since day one. In order to make it, you had to spend a lot. You had to hire people, probably, fixing the roof, for example, or doing landscaping or whatever it is. Everything is to be itemized. Then you make a bill for them, and you name them. Say you will gladly release the property that you are living in right now if they pay the debt that you paid out of pocket, labor, time, all the other things involved in it. So you are giving them a notice of that they have to pay, and they have to pay within 10 days. And that is reasonable, and you know, and you're not arguing with them at all. You say, yes, indeed, I certainly will be glad to give you back this property, the house, and everything that I have put into it, okay? But you must pay this bill first. If you pay it, I release your car to you, just like the mechanic.
Yeah, I think probably people could equate this to if they've heard of something called a conditional acceptance. They're coming in and saying they've got a right to take your property, and you've got to do something. If you say nothing, of course, that's just silences your acquiescence. So you're essentially saying, yeah, we're glad to give you back the property, but there's just an issue here we got to resolve, and here's this notice to pay. 10 days, here's my list of labor and expenses and payments and cash outlay for maintaining this property, and I'll be glad to turn the property over to you, and as you can prove you're the rightful owner, and that I, in fact, have been reimbursed for these expenses, creating a bill and then subsequently a lien. It's just that pretty simple.
Exactly, and that lien is really important. A mechanic's lien must be paid. There's no getting out of it, and that's what this essentially is. But you see, the bank that is it there in the first place, the trick bag is when you have them prove that they own or have any interest in that property whatsoever, because they don't. You see, when we go to a bank for a bank, really, they're using the word loan, and that's fraudulent because they cannot, by their own rules, lend any of their own assets or those of their customers. So where does this financial joke come from? It's your signature, my friends. It is actually you. That's why there's such an emphasis on birth certificates about the baby's weight. You are worth your weight in gold, whatever that happened to be. I was a rich little son of a gun because I weighed in at 10 pounds, 12 ounces at birth. It was 23 inches tall, so I was almost walking at the time I came out of the old cell down there. So
that explains a lot. My ex-wife used to call me worthless, and I weighed 200 pounds. I never quite was able to do that math, but anyway, never mind.
Yeah, but that's actually where the cause came from. So when you come down to you're worth your weight in gold, that's absolutely correct, and that's on the files. So the birth certificate is like a title to your car. If you lose one, you can get another one, right? So somebody's holding on to the copies of the original one. The original one is actually in their offices in Puerto Rico. So that's a whole different subject. We can get on that with DJ and talk about that for quite a while.
We'll have to reserve that one for a future long call.
You betcha. Big part. You betcha. So,
I hope you guys got that. Yeah. Maybe the simplest foreclosure remedy they've ever heard, huh?
Well, yeah, well, this is actually it. This is simplicity plus, and it's absolute. I mean, there's no getting around it. If it's their laws, which a sanitary law or sanitary or sanitary, I don't know which one would be proper there.
They definitely don't go together.
No, they certainly do not by any means. Most of those people are liars. I'm sorry, I mispronounce that all the time. Lawyer. Lawyer and liar is one and the same. I think they're synonymous. And if we look at the politicians we have, 90% or 90%+ are lawyers, are liars, whichever.
Uh-huh. Well, by nature, they're not even supposed to be in those offices, so they're already starting off as liars.
Exactly. And nobody's calling them on it. No one has called them on it. It's like all the documents we carry in our pockets, like the Social Security card, driver's license, marriage license, all those things, everything financial, your name appears in all capital letters. Yet, in the third grade grammar school, we were all taught that all sentences and proper nouns begin with capital letters followed by lowercase. So why have we accepted this other nonsense? Have we believed that they put our name in lights or something? No, there is a reason for that capitalization. So when you get mail, if you open up something addressed to what you assume to be your name that's in all capital letters, you are committing mail fraud because you're opening mail that does not belong to you. Send it back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to handle that.
Yep.
My goodness, we're getting involved in all kinds of things here.
We're giving away all the good stuff because it's so easy. I hope they're taking notes. But again, they're not going to believe it, but frankly, a lot of the remedies just are that easy. Some people think you need to have a 40-page affidavit that's recorded in Puerto Rico and in the Republic and, somewhere in Mexico and flown around and run around in circles with it a few times and throw it up in the air, and then it's a status document. You know, I remind people that my theory is that let's just remember one thing. We, the people, already have our status. It's
exactly.
Those who have to obey our status. And we have to enforce that.
Being in business and having employees, do you think that I would be taking orders from my employees? I might look at suggestions and either go with it or not go with it, but that would be my prerogative. My employees are still my employees. However, they are not our employees because they now are members of a corporation, and we can't dictate how a man operates his business. You see? So these people, they're really, we really, you know, and the only way we can take orders from them is if we are a part of that. And what makes you a part of that is all of these needless contracts, such as a driver's license. Your right to travel was here long before government was ever even thought of. So, you know, a driver's license? Why shouldn't I pay a politician to drive my motor vehicle down the public way?
It doesn't even make sense when you actually look at it like that, does it? I mean, it's kind of silly what we run around and ask permission to do, you know, but there's an inherent right to, you don't have to ask permission to do something that you already have a natural right to do.
Thank
I want to go
you.
From point A to point B, then get out of my way, and I'm not harming anybody. But somebody walks up with a statute, and you believe them, and you start shaking in your boots, and guess what? Now, their presumption, it's not true, but it's a presumption, becomes true enough that you just cave in and give it all away. You have to give it away voluntarily.
When you give in, you contract. You see, everything today is contractual. So if you say, yes, sir, you have just agreed. It's like the traffic cop that says, open your window because you have it just about an inch open, and you don't do it. Then he gets hostile and uses force, puts his hand on his gun or something, and says, you will open that window or I'll knock it out, blah, blah, blah. You know, then they're threatening you. Then you smile and say yes, because when you take on a contract under threat, it is void and null. There is no contract, okay? So these things, you know, we just have to learn these things. It's taken me a while. I was brought up the system. Matter of fact, I was a legislative advisor back in Illinois. And thank God I'm not out there anymore. But I don't know, TJ, should I tell them that I never, ever heard of Obama, when I was a senator and Congress advisor. I don't know where this guy came from. He just came out of the blue. Some of those bankers over there in Europe, I guess they're the ones that put him in office.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, the right person sat down with him, and he, I'm just, you know, say it like it is, he sold his soul to the devil, and then they propped him up and, you know, brought him out. Polished him up and said, here you go, you're a boy, you know.
Yep. Yes, man, that's the only one.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, smooth talking, but pretty much does exactly what he's told. I always tell people, I said, the first day in the presidency looks something like this. President walks in the Oval Office, and he sits in that big chair, and Kennedy's desk is sitting there, and then he's thinking, all right, what am I going to do next? And all of a sudden, somebody from behind spins his chair around and says, let me explain to you how this works.
Yep, that's exactly how it works, and it's one of the Pinkster's own hitmen, let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I always find it very interesting how back in the day of Kennedy, he had just signed the executive order to essentially end the Federal Reserve, and shortly thereafter he was shot. And I can just see the scene on the airplane when Johnson was about to take the oath. They're handing him a pen, and he's like, "Where do I sign? Where do I sign?" They said, "What are you going to sign?" He says, "I want to sign that executive order right now to release that other executive order, because that's who he was under orders to." And, by the way, you got to swear in first. Oh, okay, well, I can wait long enough to do that. You know, then they gave him the pen, and Kennedy's blood was still on his hands as he had to sign that executive order to relinquish or to repeal Kennedy's executive order that would have set this whole thing free. So,
well, the same thing occurred with Lincoln, because he made greenbacks, and they had to get rid of him, too. So that's how all this game is played. It's all financial, like it or not, that's what it is, and it's a corporation, not a governmental body.
Yep.
Because if it was a governmental body.
I call the courts banks. You know why? Because they got clerks.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
they do. But you see, the judges are not judges, they're administrators for the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So that they just take on, you see, it's play acting. Like you have actors that are taking on titles and they're playing in the play or the movie that they're in this part. That's all it is. But when you confront them and face them and stand tall when you do without any nervousness to your voice, stop the fear thing and just hand them what it is that they have dished out, they don't know how to act. They usually retreat. When they retreat and they go back in chambers and they come back out, they're wearing a different hat. So you have to do the same thing over again.
So well, I wish I could tell you how many times people told me that's happened, where the judge leaves and comes back, and they're like, well, I don't know what's going on now. Well,
yep.
they're trying to restart the thing on you again. And you
exactly.
Go back to the beginning and do it again. Right?
Right. So you have to jump on their so-called jurisdiction. In order to have jurisdiction, you must be a member of their corporation. If you are not a member or have signed on as a contractor, they have nothing. They can't even speak to you lawfully. And I said lawful, not legal, okay, because there's a vast difference between legal and lawful. Legal is a different language. Legalese is what is there. It's a pretend type of lawful. It appears to be law, but is not. And I think we were talking earlier, TJ, about the Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition, page 1424, lower left-hand corner. It clearly identifies what a statutory instrument is. Now, we know a statutory instrument would be something that a statute is written on, a piece of paper, a book, or whatever form it is, if it's on a computer screen. But, you see, the only definition is very short and sweet. It says a statutory instrument is a British, got that? A British regulation or order. That's the definition. Total. Okay, now, I thought we won that war. But obviously, we didn't.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. That's what happens when you borrow money from your enemy. Eventually, they become your master again. That's what we did.
But you see, that's another joke, too. You see that one mayor, Rothschild, they call him? His name was actually Bauer. It was not Rothschild. Rothschild means red shield in German. And in front of his coin shop that he had in Germany was a red shield sign. It had one of those black, like a phoenix bird on it, with five arrows in its claws. And the five arrows, Bauer assumed to be, or just took on, his five sons, who he had trained from birth in his schemes and scams that he had done all of his life. And he placed them in appropriate positions. Our Civil War was financed by two of the Rothschild brothers. One was in France and the other one was in England. So who was the winner of that Civil War we had? We lost a lot of our sons here, North and South. There was no need for it because the financiers were brothers claiming, you know, the different countries that they represented it, but they were the only winners in it because they were financing all the weapons, all the, you know, everything that would destroy
it.
So,
they
you know,
are the winners in every war, have been for the last 100, 200 years.
You got it, you know, that's just the way it is. So the rest of us have got to really, please, wake up. I mean, enough is enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't like to get into elections too much, but I hear the rhetoric in this election right now, what's going on, and, you know, when one side constantly says, oh, the Russians are doing it, the Russians are doing it, that's always the diversion away from the truth of what's actually going on. And they always see them steer it away, and that's how wars get started, because it becomes a distraction. And, frankly, it's good for the bankers. They don't want us, you know, electing a candidate who might actually give us some freedom. And or go against their agenda, and that's what we're seeing play out right before us right now in this election.
That's why they're so afraid. They're so afraid of Donald Trump because, you know, they're trying to belittle him in every opportunity that they have, and it's not going to do any good. Donald speaks from the heart. He's not paid to say anything. Nobody has contributed to his election.
The Republican establishment has turned their backs on him, which is like, great, get those guys out of there too. You know?
Exactly. And because he is a businessman, and a very shrewd businessman, even though he's had bankruptcy several times, I have personally had a bankruptcy at one time. But it was my own stupidity that got me into it.
Well, if you have 150 businesses and three of them have to do a bankruptcy at some point, your percentages are pretty good, actually.
I would think so. Yeah, I was kind of behind old figures down there, that Texan fella, Perot, because he was a businessman.
Yeah.
But that was but you see, he was scared out of it. That's what got Perot out of the running back. He was a threat. But beyond that, I have to stand behind Donald, even though I will not vote, and I'll tell you why. Because that voter's registration is a contract, and I will not contract with the state of Arizona or the United States or anybody else. Because that's what it is. And then when you do it, you don't realize you have volunteered to be a juror of something that's going to disrupt your life if you're called into jury duty. So that's stupid, too. But it's a hidden contract. And
well, you have to declare. It's also a declaration that you are a U.S. citizen. If you read the definition they're referring to, they're talking about a citizen of the District of Columbia or one of the territories. That puts you subject to that whole special class of citizens that you don't want to be a part of. When Selective Service is the same thing. I was just looking at the application today, again, just sort of reviewing it. And over the front it says, do what a good American does, wave the flags. Men and women at age 18, you must enroll and you'll go to prison. Then it breaks down, okay, now who has to register? And right there it says, U.S. citizens, those living on the territories. Those are not the people living on the State of the Union land.
They are not.
A separate class of people.
That's why they invented the zip code. Because when you use that zip code in your mailing address, you are on their territory by your own admission.
Yep. That's overlaid territory. So you got to disclaim that every chance time you have to use it. You better disclaim it properly.
Well, yes, all you do is put brackets around whatever the zipper happens to be, and that kind of eliminates it. If you know English at all, you'll know that brackets take whatever it is that's bracketed out of the information on the text on the sheet.
Well, it's very interesting. The actual application for the Selective Service, the signature's in a box. I said, look at that.
Yes, sir.
Well, I was watching a movie this week called The Free State of Jones. It just came out on DVD. You can get them at those red boxes. Free State of Jones, and really an excellent movie, because there's a movie that talks about how all this kind of came together and how it played out in the South during the slavery days, and they created a free state, and these were the free men that you've heard about. These were the guys. They actually made a movie about them. It's very interesting.
Howard Freeman was one of them.
Documented and undocumented people, and it's just really a great movie if you ever want to see something that'll tell you a bunch about what's going on. Like, for example, a lot of people don't know that the people who freed the blacks and the people who voted to free the black people were all Republicans. The Democrats run around saying they're the people helping the black people, but the reality is, the actual Democrats started the KKK, and to this day are still part of it.
They're all phony.
Saying we're helping you are the ones that are stabbing you in the back. And Johnson joked about it. He says, by the time I get done with the black people, they're going to be voting for us for the next 200 years because they're not going to know the difference. And
exactly.
Everything's just the opposite.
Well, they are relying on stupidity or ignorance. That is what they have relied on from day one. And I have to admit, our ancestors were pretty ignorant when they went along with all the crap that was pushed down in front of them, thinking that they were doing it out of the kindness of their heart. Okay? No, they were compelled. It's like jury duty. If you don't show up, they're going to lock you up. Think about that. So, you know, Nazi Germany, I thought, was a thing of the past, but it's not. It's alive and well right here in this country, right today. So we
By the way, another reference for that thing I just told you is Hillary's. What's it called? The Hillary movie? It's just out. Dinesh D'Souza did it. Another great. Tell
you
what's
watch
going
something.
On.
You tell would watch something pertaining to that broad.
Oh, it was. It's. But the point is it actually talks about the history that most people don't know, and it's very interesting.
Well,
but anyway,
it's from my hometown, so.
Oh, well, you know all about it. You know about the mob. I mean, they're just an organized crime racket, the whole government up there in Chicago.
Personally,
you know.
I would rather deal with the mob than the so-called government, or actually this corporation. I would, because you know where you stand. Yeah, you know where you stand. You know what I mean? It's not one of those things you never know, because everything is hidden. Everything is a lie. So we have to learn how to handle these liars and put them in their place.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. By the way, that movie was Hillary's America. I forgot the title of it, but it's also on DVD. Everyone should see that before the election, wherever you stand. Now, let's talk about, you just said Hitler's world is alive and alive and well in America, and I contend that the gateway much of it is right in going into the court, and I think we can demonstrate to all of you just exactly how that's done to you, and we're going to also show with you one of the simplest. I mean, I did an article yesterday on this, and then today I got comments about that, and I heard back also from Charles here about that, and he talked about his approach to that, and it's interesting how it's all kind of coming down to the same approach, but I think you have a really simple way to put it. Now, if you're being brought into court, let's say you've been arrested at your door, or you've been arrested on the side of the road. Maybe they've indicted you for something big time, but in reality it's just a big commercial transaction. It's all the same thing. And there's going to come the moment where you've got to almost step into the court. And then what would you tell them to do, Charles?
Well, the thing is, first when you go to the court because you have been summoned there or brought there physically, whatever the case is, you are forced into their jurisdiction, shall we say, and it's not jurisdiction unless you give them jurisdiction. You are the sovereign, like it or not, and believe it or not, you know, there's so many people out there against sovereigns and sovereignty today because they have no clue as to what it means. God Almighty is the only sovereign, period, okay? And we, as children of God, have the same capabilities as God Almighty. I'm not saying I'm a god or you're a god, but we have the same qualities and capabilities. Therefore,
well,
we can
like this an image. That's what we're told. That's what that means.
Exactly. So anything we then create is subservient to us, just as we should be to God Almighty. Okay?
We were supposed to take dominion. That means we're the agent, so to speak.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I'm glad you brought that agent up. That kind of triggers that other thing we were talking about signature today. But when you go in, you have actually volunteered because you walk into this courtroom. Now, as long as you stay behind that rail, every one of them's got a rail with a gate on it, and nobody has bothered to even ask why. Because you're walking aboard their ship. And if you look at the flags flying behind the judge, they have on one side is what represents the state flag, and the other side, the U.S. flag. However, neither are that at all. They have gold fringe around them, which makes them both admiralty flags, which changes that courtroom into some kind of maritime operation. All right? And when you're on a ship, the captain is the guy with the last word. But that guy sitting up 4 feet above everybody else in that courtroom thinks he's God or she's God, whatever it might be. They're lawyers in drag. They're wearing a black costume to make it appear that they're about something. When you establish that you are here as a third party for the party they have written down on their documentation, which happens to be all capital lettered, a name that you assume to be yours. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't be there, because if they summoned you with under that all capital written name, you have no reason to be there in the first place, because that is not your name. Not according to the English language, anyhow. So, anyhow, just by being there, your mere presence puts you in their, they call it a jurisdiction, but I have other words for it, but I can't use it here on the air. So, these little games that they play, you walk in and then, you know, they ask, well, what's your name? And what I do, I just stop them in their tracks and I tell them, my name is my property, which it is, because I copyrighted the straw man name, and I also copyrighted my autograph. But I tell them, my name is my property, and I do not give my property away freely to anyone or anything. If you care to negotiate, I would be happy to do so. And then they kind of sit back and they look at me strange. Sometimes they'll even leave the courtroom. So
you didn't follow the script. What are you doing?
I know. Yeah, I'm not falling into their ballpark. So, you know, it makes all the sense in the world to use their stuff against them. They know what the things are. They know what they're doing. They're just murdering thieves. And I call them murderers because that's what they are. How many people go to prison, you know, and they kill them in prison? So, at least in this country, a lot of countries don't do that anymore. But here, the barbaric Brits run things. So this is why we're in this situation. And your little thing, I liked your thing there also, TJ. What was that? How do you approach them on that?
In terms of going into the court?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty darn similar. I mean, it's just another way of saying the same thing, that my name is private and I'm not giving it to you.
Yep.
And anybody here have any claims against me? Oh, no? Well, see you later. You know, that's kind of your very short and simple approach.
Exactly.
You talked about earlier about maybe handing them. Oh, I asked the question, well, what about the failure to appear? Because sometimes they try to play a game with you and try to tell you they're going to send a warrant for you for failure to appear. How would you kind of handle that in
court? It's impossible for the entity to appear anyhow. That's why they want you to volunteer and say, oh, here I am, or raise your hand, or stand up, or whatever the case. The things that they taught you in their schools long about first grade, second grade, when they had you respond to your name on roll call and things and stand up or yell out, yeah, here I am, all that kind of stuff. Well, this is a training that's been instilled in you, and you respond when you hear your name. Example, if you go into a, let's say it's a wedding party and there's a big room, a dance going on, and there's maybe 50 or 100 people in that room, and you go in the door and you say, hey, John, how many people are going to respond to you? You see, this is the same thing. This is what they rely on. They want you to respond to what you think is your name, and yet it is not, because it's written in all capital letters. And the ones that gave that capitalized name to you is none other than the Department of Commerce. We can get into that, too. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, it is. Can I meet you hold just 1 second? I had somebody come up to my door. I've got to let him in real quick.
Oh, certainly.
Keep going.
Okay, I'll try and keep the troops entertained here if we could do that. Yeah, well, TJ, I admire a great deal, and we've known each other for a long time. It's just I feel like I've been neglecting him because he is a friend, and you know we talk about the same subjects, and we try to get people with their heads screwed on correctly to follow through and do these things and get this motion going, because, you know, there's over 300 million people in our country today, and it's kind of difficult to get 300 million people to move in the same direction. However, when enough of us start pushing or standing up on our own 2 feet, not expecting anything in return, I do all of this stuff without fees or charge or anything of that nature, simply because I am here for a reason, and that is to help people. That's why I was a cop. That's why I've done all the things I've done in my life, because I enjoy helping people, and it makes me feel good when they are relieved and helped on their own. I do a lot of entertaining, shall we say, on the Internet. I'm a singer and what have you.
And I was watching some of your singing. They're pretty good, actually.
Oh, are they? Well, thank you, sir. But, yeah, some of my followers, they, you know, they're writing comments all the time and sending me all these cute little love notes and what have you, and I enjoy that. And some of them are now coming to me as the philosopher. They're asking me what to do about this or that situation. So here I am. I'm getting bogged down on that, too. So, but I don't care because I've enjoyed life. You know, here's a guy that I must be suicidal because I used to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. And and then being a cop, when you pin the badge on your chest in Chicago, you just put a target on your chest. So, you know, there must be something suicidal, even though that thought never occurred.
No kidding.
Yes,
well, listen, I really enjoyed this. I have a few people that might ask some questions. Would you mind, see if we grab a few audience questions?
Not at all.
If you guys have a question, press *6. I got a couple in the queue. If you want to get yourself in the queue and ask Charles a question, please feel free. That's what we're kind of here to help you do.
Let's do the Chuck thing. That Charles sounds like I'm a chauffeur for somebody.
Oh, yeah. It does kind of sound of British, too. I think you already got kind of gave me the hint you don't like that anyway. So.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry about that. All right. Area code 954. You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. How are you doing today?
Well, so far so good.
Okay. I want you to repeat the law that states that the property is owned by the state.
Oh, certainly. That is Senate Document Number 43, the 73rd Congress, first session.
Okay.
Okay.
I will try. I'm going to grab a few of the notes that we took today and probably post them up on a blog so people can go back and look at that on the website.
Yeah, because it's quite clear. And when I saw that, I said, oh, I got to let folks know about this.
It's so contrarian to what most people are, how they're approaching foreclosures. Quite interesting.
We have been brainwashed, buddy. So let's get out of this brainwashing. You know, this is the hardest job I have ever taken on in my entire life, and I'll be 75 in a week or so. I am, you know, trying to untwist minds, and I'll tell you what, that is the most difficult task in the world.
Well, I do it every week. And believe me, I know. Starting with my own.
No.
Hello?
So, you know, it's interesting. I think maybe to put a context on what that law also means, another way to put it is, you know, when they did this sort of takeover, the bankruptcy in 1933, and they supposedly took the property and all the rights to it, they still had to give us something in return. It's the thing, this is still the rule of contract or trust. In reality, it's like they kind of set up a trust and they said, okay, you got rights to use things, but you can't own them, which, by the way, is not inconsistent with what God gave us. Except they kind of intervened and stepped themselves into the middle there, and we've got to know the difference.
Well, you see, what they told us back there in that same time, the 5th of June, 1933, they said that we may discharge, we can't pay a debt. In fact, if you use the word pay in a courtroom, the judge then will go to the length to lock you up because you can't pay anything. There's no way you could pay anything here, and not in this country. There's no money. What we have in our pockets and what we wind up spending are nothing but net debt notes that belong to a private corporation called the Federal Reserve Corporation. So once that is clearly understood, and all those notes that we carry are all serialized because it's their property, and you have no right to use another man's property for your own benefit. This is a thing. This is a dilemma. So there is no money. So think of it that way. Everything you do is an exchange of some kind. If someone accepts a $20 bill, for example, in lieu of a real 20 silver dollars or a gold piece worth $20, okay, if they accept that piece of paper in lieu of it, you're free and clear to go because he was bamboozled into believing that that was worth something. It is not. It's a piece of paper with ink on it. That's all it is. And it belongs to a private company that's mostly European owned. So, you know, the thing is we just have to understand these things. And I feel real strong about my job of getting this information out to people. Here in Tucson, I've held several seminars and got people, you know, kind of, whoa, is there more? Well, of course there's more. I've been doing this for 20 years, you know, almost 20 years. So, you know, it's one of those things that we just have to understand, and we have to take the time to look into this stuff. I don't want anyone to take my word as gospel, because that's a mistake we have made for centuries, believing what somebody tells us as truth. And it is not truth, not until we investigate for ourselves and find out if it is or not, without any regard to hurting somebody's feelings or rocking the boat or anything like that. Forget all that nonsense. Just do what you have to do.
Yeah, because nobody's going to do it for you. You know, I always go back to the saying that Benjamin Franklin said when he came out of the first Congress, and the people were standing there in the street, and they were asking him, well, what have you given us? I mean, they're already asking for a benefit, for crying out loud, in the first 5 minutes. But anyway, they said, what have you given us? He says, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. And the emphasis is on the word you.
Yeah, if you keep it. Yes, that's correct. And, you know, but the people are sovereign because they're children of God, so they have to be sovereign. There is no artificial entity that could possibly be sovereign. United States Incorporated, it's impossible. It's an artificial entity. It's a name put on a piece of paper or in some other form of media, okay? So it's nothing. And by being a corporation, they have lowered themselves to below a people perspective or statute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, those first words of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, I mean, it's all right there at the very top. It says who that is. And the first top of every document is the king, we the people. So,
yes.
There you go. All right, I got another caller here. We'll go ahead and move on to another one. Anonymous caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
As they say in Britain, are you there?
Hello?
I guess they have
bueno.
See?
There we go. I was muted.
Oh, could you hear me?
Now we can.
Yes, ma'am, we can now.
I apologize. It was a muted thing. Okay. I just wanted to mention you were speaking to, going back a little bit on the votes and everything. It's my research has shown me that there's only actually three true electoral votes that are considered. Everything else has been, it's all been predetermined anyway. It doesn't matter who out there does what. There's only three electoral votes. And they determine it, and it's already been pre-decided.
Of course it has. There is a university in England that has predicted the winner of each election in this country for the last 100 years. And they have never been wrong because they are the ones appointing whoever is going to be in there. Your vote don't mean a thing. Nothing.
Exactly. And then if you do make that application and registration to vote, which why is a big question mark for me to everyone, you are volunteering to become that 14th Amendment U.S. citizen, which is the only one that can really actually make a vote in that particular election that you're seeing run across the media and stuff right now. So, again, why are people volunteering to do this instead of going back and correcting the mistake? Big question
because
out there, people.
the big thing is the brainwashing involved in it. They are brainwashing people to believe this nonsense that they're putting out there. Mm. So you know, when you believe all this stuff without checking it. You see, this is how we get bogged down into these organized religions, because we believe some guy's word without bothering to verify to see how legitimate it actually is. Okay?
It's,
so we
a sad get, state of affairs.
Yeah, exactly. So we were brainwashed from early childhood on. As a matter of fact, we all learn to lie from very early on. We're not even out of the crib walking around yet. We're standing up in the crib, but we reach over and we knock something off of the dresser that's next to us or something. And Mommy comes in and says, "Johnny, did you do that?" And oh no, Mommy, it was the cat, or it was the window, or the wind was blowing, or it was the dog, or my brother, or whatever it was. So we start to lie early on for self-preservation. And there's no reason for that either.
Mm-mm.
We're just teaching our youth the wrong things at the wrong time. We tell them about the stork and the tooth fairy and all that other nonsense, and by the time they get to be teeny boppers, say 13 years old, they realize their family has been lying to them their entire life. So now, whatever the parents say to them, that don't mean a thing because they're liars. They've been lying to me about everything. So this is how, when you step out of the box, you can see things a whole lot different.
Right. The other thing was, for both you and TJ, at this point, where are you at your perception of what we of who we the people are? Because that's another subject matter that I don't think there's real clarity on in all these different groups and forums and what have you, and people in general.
TJ, you want to go ahead on that?
That's another one of those big questions. I mean, I can definitely answer it. Just got to have a big, you know, time. But, you know, I guess that's a good question. I mean, I've been asked that straightly, I guess. But I guess, just to let it blurt its way out, we the people are the children of God, and we are the kings of, you know, we were the first country in history where the people were made the kings, not some other king. That's what makes us unique from Europe or even Canada or Mexico or anywhere else. We designed something very unique, and we confirmed it in writing. We put a document together that just simply confirms it. We don't need that document to have this anyway, but we're the first to actually put it down like that and to form this recognition of who we are, and that's absolutely the truth. You know, everything else is a lie that's been going on through history. So I guess what I'm saying is you know, I'm not a sovereign, so to speak, but I am of the sovereign. There is only one, you know, I guess if you want to get into the Bible, the way it teaches is you're not supposed to have two gods. It's either man or it's God. Now, which is it going to be?
Yeah, you can't serve two masters.
And throughout history, we've been making the mistake of falling under man's authority, which makes him your God. That's what a false God is. It's not just because somebody's falling before a statue. It's falling before an authority and giving
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So many people are saying, oh, we the people, thinking, you know, looking at the Constitution, and that's another subject matter, because the Constitution that they are operating under today, even if it were legit, my perception is we're not part of we that people. There was a group of people at that time that took it upon themselves to make determinations for everyone else, and it was all under false pretenses anyway. So again, are you you have to know who you are. And
exactly.
If you don't know who you are, you've lost this battle before you've gotten out the gate.
What does it mean to you? You know, that's really the question. Whether people were talking about themselves or you, as far as I'm concerned, thanks for reminding me, but, you know, I am what I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And besides, men cannot give you rights. You know, when I hear people say, I'm going to stand on my constitutional rights, that constitution was written by a man. Okay, Jefferson took the majority of that thing. He had a lot of things changed in what he had written. But it was a man. So a man cannot issue rights. He can give you permission, which can be revoked as well. So you've got to pay attention to those things and understand what a right is versus a permission. It's
right.
Like the driver's license is a permit, okay, to do something that would be otherwise illegal.
Yeah.
Well, illegal, again, is back in that language of theirs called legalese, which means absolutely nothing. They just rearrange the words and give them different definitions and use them against you because they assume you're going to believe the true definition, which is anything it's like 180 degrees out of phase.
Exactly.
Listen,
I got a bunch of callers in the queue. I'd love to keep chatting with you. I want to make sure we get
okay.
a few people.
All right.
But
sorry.
I'll tell you what, everybody, when you're in the world of the color of law, all you have to do is kick your heels together three times. That's three notices. And go back to the simple common law world. And that's who you really are. That's where you belong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan.
Sure. I love
all
it,
right, TJ. Next caller is 303.
Hi, TJ. My question is, when a property is in a land trust, should that property be taken out of the land trust in order to file the mechanics lien?
There you go.
I got it. Yeah. Very simply put, it does. I don't. As long as you're the party in interest in the trust,
mm-hmm.
and or your name is on the title, one of the two, you can still make that claim.
Okay.
I don't see why that's an issue at all.
Okay.
If I have the property in a trust, any kind of trust, land trust or any other trust, if I'm the party that's the party in interest and I contributed the labor and the claim, don't I have a claim anyway?
Okay.
Or look at it this way. If you move it into a land trust and there's a mortgage against it, does it change anything as far as the lenders wanting to come in and foreclose if you don't pay?
No.
No. Doesn't change. Same rule.
Thank you.
But that term lender is another misnomer.
Yes.
It's false because they haven't lent you anything. A few minutes of their time and some paper they had printed up for you to sign. That's all they did. They did not contribute a nickel to anything of that property or anything else.
And in the history of challenging lenders to produce the accounting to show the actual movement of assets from their ledger to mine, they, by golly, never, they don't even want to answer that question.
Of course, they can't answer it. It would put them out of business.
Exactly. So there you go. That's the absolute proof right there.
Okay?
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. You bet. Air code 586.
Yes. How you doing?
Good.
Hello?
Me too. Yeah. Hi.
Do we have a name?
Okay. Yes, sir. Same name as Charles.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I just wanted to put that out there. Now, I've been doing this, researching for about 2 years now and trying to learn the difference. What Charles had broke down, which I'm glad he brought that out, with the birth certificate, the power of birth certificate, and the capitis, diminutio, that's the way I like to put it. Catenis,
I like to use that word, but I can't say it, so.
Right. It's kind of hard sometimes. Diminutio maxima. That three-letter word, a lot of people need to look that up and understand what it means, because it would basically tell them everything that has happened when they do contracts with the government. Now, two questions. What are you guys' website to where we can, get a hold of?
Well, my website is urlaw.org.
Oh, already got it. Okay.
Yeah,
I have this stuff right in front of me, and
well, that was a test. I was just seeing if you could, pass the test. So
you
passed
could
the multiple test. It's a multiple choice question with only one choice, so you did very well.
Okay, appreciate that.
So you're not lying, TJ.
I'm not lying. There's only one truth. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, your second question. I hope it's a tougher one than that.
Oh no. Actually, kind of got myself in a little trouble. Okay. I basically gave consent to when I stepped into the court last week, because I got arrested, and I didn't want to speak to the officer. I say I told him I don't do conversations. I don't speak to cops. And it went on for about maybe 15, 20 minutes tops. And I was pulled over because the guy had stated, the officer had stated that he couldn't see my paper tag. And it was early in the morning, right around 6 a.m. And make a long story short, one police officer turned out to be about a half a dozen, and I ended up getting arrested. They threatened to break out my window if I didn't, follow their instruction or listen at all. And it went on until I just gave up, because we all know how, you know, situations like that turn out. Now,
right.
I have two court dates and also a trial date coming up. And I asked for the trial, I asked, for an appeal, and I wanted to get my word out to the people and also the juror. Now, do you think I can set myself up?
Have you been arraigned?
Yes.
He set himself up, TJ. There's no question about it. Let me ask you a couple of things.
Even if I never stated my name, and I also...
No, you set yourself up. Let me tell you how you did that. Do you have license plates on the car?
No, sir.
You don't have license plates on the car?
No.
Then they had no reason to stop you in the first place. Because
exactly,
those
gave them my name.
Well, there's another thing, and depends on where you are at in this country. You sound like you might be a black man, and if you are, you're a target anyhow.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, you know, these things are against you to begin with, all right? And most people that have tags on their cars, you notice that the license plates do not have your individual names on them. They have the state within what you're supposed to be in. At that time, they have their name on it, which makes it a commercial vehicle, which requires a commercial license, okay? And when you have this kind of a thing going on, you know, you've got to have this, you've got to have that, and you're part of it because you volunteered to be a part of that corporation. That's the whole problem, and people do not realize that. But if your vehicle, as you say, does not have tags on it, they have no reason to, you know, to stop you in the first place. And if they do, you ask them immediately for a stupidvisor to show up, and you ask that stupidvisor if he had to... Did you? Good. Okay. But and it didn't help you at all, or what?
He never showed up, and I didn't think they want him there because...
they didn't call him.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, they had one of those black guys on the line there, and they could put him in jail, and they get paid for that. That's what that's all about, my friend. So, yeah.
So,
but all the stuff we're talking about, you use it. It makes no difference what the so-called crime is, okay, or what the charge is. It's, you know, a charge is kind of like a dead battery. You got to charge it up, right? So discharge the thing and let it be flat.
Well, another thing.
In mind. We just gave you a scenario earlier. You've got your opportunity to come back to into the court, right? They sent you the party invitation and said they're going to have tea and crumpets and cupcakes and everything, come to our party, right? Mm-hmm. You've got that opportunity to approach the court again with your, you know, your because every time you walk back in, they're kind of starting a new contract. So you ask them if they got a contract, just like we stated earlier, before you enter in.
Yes, sir. Show me the contract.
Okay.
You may have screwed
would
up before.
Would it be a good thing to...
You're, every time you reappear, you're starting over again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Yeah.
So is it would it be a smart thing to, as of like right now, to trademark that name?
Oh, yes. I suggest that for everybody. Not trademark, copyright it. And you can do that with your county recorder.
Copyright it.
It costs about $10, and you know you're home free. You've got something now that you can negotiate with because it is your property. That's the capitalized name. Anytime you get a piece of mail addressed to that straw man, that capitalized name, which we call straw man, anytime you get one of those in the mail from a financial institution or government or whatever it is that's sending that letter to that name, you return it to the sender. Because you cannot open it without committing mail fraud. So when you send it back to them and I say there's nobody here by that name, thank you, that's all you have to do.
Okay.
Did they send you something in the mail as an invitation, party invitation?
Yeah, anything you get in the mail that's addressed to that capitalized version of your name, which you assume to be your name, which is not. Because when you open somebody else's mail, that's fraud, isn't it?
Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
So when you go back to court, you're going to bring a birth certificate with you possibly, and maybe go back and listen to what we say to say before you enter into the court and stay there.
Do that.
Oh, so I was thinking about that. So just take it up there with me?
And
take the birth certificate. Because
I'll post something as a little bit of a blog on this, so you can go back and look at it here probably by tomorrow. It'll talk about kind of your steps and your script.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
appreciate that.
And that is cool.
It is.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I mean, you have to understand they in the 13th Amendment came along, and everybody thought, oh my goodness, you know, we freed the slaves. But if you go back and actually look at a little bit of the history, it says right in there the one exclusion is criminals. What they didn't at that time define is what's a criminal.
Yep.
And then they began to expand the definition of what is criminal activity to the day today where we have 6 million statutes and codes. Judge Napolitano said this really brilliantly a while back. He says the only reason we have the legal system we have and we have 3 million people or whatever it is in prison is because we've let lawyers create an ever-expanding business for themselves. Called statute. And this ever-expanding empire is surrounded by creating and criminalizing everything, criminalizing smoking a joint, criminalizing driving without a license, criminalizing not paying a tax if you even question it, everything. And so it goes on. An ever-expanding circle of exactly. It's your children, yeah. An ever-expanding way to generate revenue for this corporation. And all these people, even the so-called attorney who you hire to help you, is party to the game. And you don't know it. You got to not get into that game by stopping it right from the beginning and saying, do I have a contract? If not, I'm leaving. Do you have a contract with me? Nope. Okay, well, I'm leaving. Okay.
Exactly right.
That's it. That's the only legal knowledge you need, technically speaking. Don't get in there.
And
I mean,
stop
the movie War Games. Exactly, no contract. The end of the movie War Games, the guy was getting this computer to basically almost commit, you know, nuclear war upon itself. And then he realized at the end, the only way to win the game is not to play.
Well, what is it, the book of Matthew that says, agree with your enemy quickly?
Quickly. Agree with thine enemy quickly. Yep.
Yes. So agree with them. When you're in agreement, they have no case. They can't take you to court because they have nothing to argue about. You agreed. Yeah, I agree. That ended. He exceeded the speed limit or whatever it was that they were trying to blame you for. They can't blame you if they don't name you.
Yep.
Okay.
If you haven't given your name and you haven't entered into a contract and you got their confirmation there's no contract, what else is there?
Exactly.
So keep that in mind. Keep it really simple. I don't even want to say much more because it'll just make you think there's more to it than that.
Yeah. It aggravates people, too.
All right. Listen, I'm going to get
questions,
email me. I'll get that blog up there for you so you have some like, a little bit of a script to follow, okay?
All right.
Watch
thanks.
All right. Get on to another caller, please. All right. Area code 281. You got a lot of callers in the queue, so I'm going to ask you to go kind of quick.
Okay.
Hello.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Hi. Thank you all for taking my call. I've been in queue and I've been listening, and you've touched on quite a bit. As it relates to my question initially was, is there a silver bullet in dealing with the traffic case? And from what you're saying, just the whole question of, you know, do I have a contract or do you all have a contract with me? And if so, present evidence, that specifies such. Is that the smoking, smoking gun or the silver bullet? Is there something else? Because, again, it seems really simple, but I just want to make sure because I do have a traffic case that I have coming
what
up.
What I said, you won't believe me when I tell you.
It really is that simple.
Go ahead, Charles.
It is that simple. You see, these people, I call them people out of niceness, but, you know, they're not people. They're animals. They're murdering thieves is what they are. It's a bunch of pirates that are off the high sea onto the mainland, and we have to continue, you know, handling them that way because that's what they are, exactly. So these traffic violations, let me tell you, there are over 84 miles, 84 miles of shelf space dedicated to their statutes, regulations, rules, ordinances, all the other BS that they try to con us into believing, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think I mentioned it earlier about looking at Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition, page 1424, to see what a statute is. And it's only a few words in the definition. It's a British regulation or order. Now, why are we following British orders?
Wow.
In fact, if you look at these law books and you see West Publications on the end of the book, right? The Black's Law Dictionary and all of it says West Law, right?
Yep.
Well, that West happens to be short for Westminster Abbey.
Wow.
And if you look in the back of the book, you'll find all the kings and queens since 1054 when William went in there and conquered them.
Wow.
So what's that doing in an American law book?
Exactly.
It's not an American law book, okay? So this is what we have to stop and we have to stand up on and get rid of them. And the biggest way we can do that is to stop contracting. No driver's license, no marriage license, no nothing. Even financial institutions are branches of this so-called federal government, which is a corporation. On the back of my business cards, I have a little sentence on there that says, you cannot possibly be a citizen of a corporation. It's impossible.
Hmm.
Okay, so you are a citizen of the state within which you were born. However, when that state name is in capital letters, it too is an artificial entity. So
wow.
You're not part of it, okay? You have to pay attention. The English language is really strange. And once you learn all the quirks and the little ways around things and the way things are presented to you, the brackets and the squirrely brackets and all the other kind of, are curly, I call them squirrely. But, so many of these things, we have to learn. We have to understand what their true meaning is. And that's why I suggest you return any mail that comes to your dwelling in that capitalized name. Return it to sender because there's nobody there with that name. Your name has capital initials followed by lowercase. That's what your mom gave you, your dad gave you, everybody, okay? So that's the true name. But the straw man name is something they made up at the Department of Commerce so they could use you for commercial gain. That's all it's about.
Okay, so I hear a lot of people saying no driver's license, get away from that. Like in 20 seconds, what works in place of that? Like, what allows you to drive and not drive, travel freely upon the, you know, public highways and a non-commercial capacity where you don't have the fear of, you know, being stopped and harassed? You have no, it sounds like you have no license.
You have the absolute authority of God Almighty to travel anywhere you desire. It is your right. It's not a permission. It is an absolute right to travel anywhere you so desire, unless somebody has signs posted say no trespassing. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll use that. I have a license, but the cop stopped me. I spent 12 hours in jail, never been to jail, $1,000 for the bond, a whole ugly situation. So I had a license. I identified myself, explained, you know, over the loudspeaker, they said my name, my address. I said that information is correct. Throughout it all, I said I plead the fifth and, you know, all of that. And you can't take away my right to protect myself from, you know, causing damage by speaking and this and that. And 12 hours in jail, never been to jail. So, you know, it really, honestly.
It sounds like you answered a question versus asked a question.
Yeah, exactly. And she did it to herself because she contracted by having a driver's license. Okay.
Even though I didn't show it to him, though. Like, that's why I went to jail, because he said, lady, you're fixing to go to jail. I'm here in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, by the mere fact of having a driver's license.
Yeah, those guys over there in Louisiana are the same way. They're all stupid hillbillies. But anyhow, when you get down to the truth of the matter, okay, is you volunteered to contract with them when you volunteered to take on registration for your vehicle or
okay,
a driver's license, okay? So stop contracting. Void the contracts because you didn't understand what they were about.
Okay.
You can still walk into that court and do this, even though you've screwed all that up. You can revoke that and simply say, where's my contract? Where is it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because even though they have a contract, he's saying you've contracted. Let's be careful. You may have had a contract, but you probably did it under some form of threat, duress, or coercion, which voids the reality that there is a contract.
And I revoked it.
They can presume, but they can presume because you gave them the presumption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much. I can't wait to look at the blog to get the information that you're going to post, and I'll yield the floor for the next caller. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay.
We got some good callers here tonight.
Oh, you betcha, TJ. We got a lot of enthusiasm. I like it.
Okay, I got quite a few more callers. I hope we can get to them. I don't know how much more time we got.
Don't tell my battery's run dead on the cell phone.
Okay. Well, if you don't want your battery to go dead, you know. We're all batteries for that big machine. We don't want that to go out. Okay, Eric, 954.
Yes. I know. I agree with all that you said about what you should do in court and stuff like that. But that's all well and good if we were dealing with the law and people that are honorable. But we're dealing with people that are not honorable and all that they're only dealing with is with the dollar, because all what you said, I have done that, been there, and they arrest you and say you're mentally deranged, and they put you in and have you in a psych ward and have you go through all this, you know, to see if you're sane or insane. So if we were dealing with people that were honorable and were respecting the law, then, you know, all that is fine. Because, you know, you show them all the court cases where the Supreme Court, which is supposed to be the law of the land, state that you have the right to travel without this and that and all that. Well, they don't listen to that. You know, they throw you in there because you have no advocates. They throw you in there, you gotta pay to come out.
Okay,
and that's just
Let's address that a little bit. This is another thing that I do I failed to mention earlier. When you go into their courtroom, their jurisdiction, as they call it, bring with you a couple of things. You bring your birth certificate as one. That's the defendant, because that's whose name it's in. And the other one, you bring the judge's oath of office. One of the first things I do is dangle their oath of office in their face. And I say, is this your signature on this oath of office? And they cannot say no because it's there in front of them, okay? So that means you will adhere to the laws of this country. Is that correct? And they have to agree with that. So once you have them in that trick bag, now all the rest comes easy. Just like dangling the birth certificate that belongs to the defendant in their courtroom, because that defendant does not exist. You are only there representing it as a third party. You follow?
Yeah, but the majority of these judges that I have seen, they do not have a oath of office because it's not properly signed and notarized. It's not
They don't have an oath of office, then they have to be thrown off the bench. They cannot practice law, at all, if they don't have an oath of office. And if we go through the Constitution, sentence by sentence or word by word, we will see that they must have an oath of office to perform any judiciary thing, whatever it might be. Okay?
Well, like I said,
The another thing to remember is you must expect what I call the three tests. And the three tests, so don't expect, just because you just did the no contract thing, that it is necessarily over. Oh, it might be in some cases. But
Yeah. You
should expect to be drugged back in when you try to leave. You should expect to be sent to a mental exam. And what's your position the entire way? Do we have a contract? Do we have a contract? And you never get off your basic questions that you're asking.
Correct.
Because
correct.
They're going to continue to test you. It's that what we found is over time is that if they take you all the way to three tests, eventually they're going to have to give up, because the only reason they sent you to the psych thing is because you're winning.
Yep. Yep. Been there and done that.
You don't know when you're winning sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I understand that you know when you're winning, but when you're locked up behind bars and your children are out there and they don't know where you are because you can't make no phone calls, and it's like the saying is that, they're holding the handle and you're holding the blade, right? And, you're in a catch-22 situation. There's nowhere to turn. And they just bully and run roughshod over you because...
I'm going to guess, though, in your situation you're referring to, if I actually went to the very beginning of it, there's something in there that gave them the presumption they had authority over you.
Yes.
Nothing gave them the presumption, because I told them that when they called my name, I told them I'm here on behalf of that party. They asked me, what's my name? I said, I go by the name of, and I spelled out my name, uppercase, lowercase, all that right there. No jurisdiction, exactly, And they just said, well, this guy is rambling. He don't know what's... Lock him up and put him in the psych ward.
By responding, you took the place of the artificial entity, and now they have something to look at and something to talk to. The entity cannot talk, it can't listen, it can't do anything. Not a thing. It's an artificial made-up entity.
Yeah, but I wasn't talking about the entity.
What it was, on their documentation, they had the entity. And when they called the name, you assumed it to be your own, and you responded. Therefore, you took the place of the artificial entity.
I was there on behalf of that entity.
No, but you see, you actually agreed by saying, this is the name I go by. So you're telling them, you volunteered, okay? And what it is, they go by that. Any little thing, even a movement, if you wink your eye or you move your shoulders or whatever it is, they assume that to be admission to being whatever the name is they have on the paper. And the name on the paper is an artificial entity that can't do anything. It can't even give a blood sample or urine sample or anything. And yet its name appears in all of your medical papers. So
I told them that that's not my name. And they asked me, what's my name? And I told them that I go by the name.
They're asking.
Pardon me?
Were you telling them or asking them to prove it is?
Yeah, I told them to prove it was.
Okay. You told them to prove it or ask them? Can you please prove that we have a contract and that is my name?
Right. I told them, I went through all of that. And, not to belabor that point is, the question I really wanted to ask is, if you have been into foreclosure, can you use that Senate document number 43 to go back in and prove fraud on the court?
Yes, indeed, and I have saved several people here in Tucson. I've saved several people's homes for them.
Okay, but I'm saying if you've already lost the home, can you go back in and prove fraud in the court and recoup your...
If you wish to do that, I prefer staying away from those jerks from all angles. If you lost it, you lost it. Go back and get yourself another one or something better, okay? It's just one of those things. Whatever's behind, history is dead. Everything behind us is dead. Yesterday is dead. It's not coming back. So
okay.
I live for the moment, today and tomorrow. I look forward to tomorrow, but I live for the moment. And I think that's what most of us should start doing, because I'll tell you what, my life has changed completely since I, let's say, forgave and gave up. You know what I mean? It just, I don't let things like that bother me anymore. I help people to the fullest and give them all the information that I have acquired and, you know, try to help them in every manner, shape, and form. I help my brothers. These are my brethren. I don't care if they're red, white, purple, pink, or orange. It makes no difference. Okay? These are my brother and sister, and I try to help them as best I can.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. All right.
You're welcome.
Next caller is on an anonymous line. Go ahead.
I'm TJ's next door neighbor, Al, here.
Hey, Al.
I'm enjoying the conversation and all the good stuff, information. I've been driving without a license, but I was told by a friend it's better to get a liability insurance. So I called, shopped around, and told them lies that I have driver's license, and I don't. Just to get a liability insurance. Okay, then they said, okay, we need to find out if you had prior insurance. And I kind of skirted that issue. But then they kept on. They demanded that I show them a copy of license and also declaration from prior insurance company, which I don't have. So they canceled it on the 17th. Of this month. And
okay.
I don't really feel comfortable. I feel comfortable driving without a license, but I don't feel comfortable without a liability insurance. Can you give me some insight?
Let me give you a little insight about that. You know the seatbelt
okay.
law? You know why
yes.
the seatbelt law is enacted? It's for the insurance companies. It has nothing to do with your security or your safety or anything like that. It's for the insurance industry.
Okay.
Because if you're not belted down, you're probably going to get hurt pretty good, and they're getting stuck with a big bill. Well, they don't
yeah.
want any kind of a bill, so that's why they put this across. They have lobbyists hanging around all these capitals and everything, and they promote getting this thing involved. Yet, you know, as a policeman, I never bothered anybody for not having a seatbelt on. If they want to be in pieces, that's their prerogative. It's not my business. Same as why should I stop a man from committing suicide? That's none of my business either.
But my concern is I don't feel comfortable driving without an auto insurance.
That's fine. You can get yourself a bond, and a bond will cover you for how many millions you want to be covered in.
How do I get a bond?
What do you think you're, when you buy insurance, what you're actually buying, what you're giving a signature for?
Yeah.
A bond.
It's a bond.
Go ahead.
That's bond. And you can bond yourself.
How?
Yeah. So it's that simple. But people have been bogged down and lied to so much they believe all this crap that's shoved down their throat. Forget
about
it.
No, you mentioned get a bond, but how do I get a bond? Or where?
You go in and you buy a bond.
From where?
These insurance companies that they call themselves, they're not insuring anything, actually. Most of them has got to happen on the second Tuesday of the third month of the fourth year before they'll even acknowledge it. Know what I mean?
Look, so I call any, you mean I'll call any insurance company and ask them if I can
sure.
secure a bond?
If you can buy a bond. And if they ask
okay.
for how much, say, yeah, $10 million. And they say, oh, certainly,
okay.
yeah, sure, come right on in, we'll sell you one. And then you're bonded for everything.
Okay. So this is a bond, I mean, it's an insurance bond. It's not an automobile.
No, no, No. It is a bond, period. And the bond has value. And it will cost you out of your pocket instead of somebody else's pocket to take care of it. And that's
is it expensive?
It could be. It depends on the amount you want. If it's something worth a couple hundred thousand would be a whole lot cheaper than $1 million or $2 million, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
But you can do that. You can be a bonded employee.
Okay.
Oh, I was bonded when I was selling, what the hell was it? Oh, I was in the movie industry. I was working for Technicolor, and I was bonded for them. So it's all nonsense. It's stuff we have been led to believe that makes us nervous. And again, that word fear pops up there with its ugly head.
Okay. I mean, technically speaking, if somebody hands you a financial instrument called a charge, your signature on it should settle the bond that they're creating and pay the bond right there to the court. There's your liability payment.
Another option is non-UCC approach.
Well, a UCC, if you do that properly, you file a UCC-1, okay, and then you put your automobile title under a UCC-3, now you carry that in your car. When a cop asks you for your registration, you just hand him that. That shows that that car belongs to you, not the state you're in.
Okay. It's a private property.
Yes, exactly. And if it's private, they have nothing to do with it. As long as you're remaining within your confines of your dwelling, whatever that happens to be, you are on private property, and they have no authority whatsoever to come into that private property. When you open the door for them, you just open the door and let them in.
Okay. Now, let me shift gear here for on a foreclosure. I was sued on a foreclosure action about 4 years ago. So I fought back, went through all the state courts, and all of them denied. And now they haven't proceeded forward in announcing a sheriff's sale. That doesn't mean they're not going to. I know they will. So I'm just relaxing, waiting for them to make a move so I can sue them in U.S. District Court. You think I'm doing the right thing?
Yes, of course. But you see, again, they have got to prove ownership. Look, when we take a picture from outer space, we've got all those little pieces of garbage running around out there in the outer perimeter, right? And they're taking pictures. Have you ever seen a line on any of those pictures denoting a state or a country or anything else?
No.
Thank you.
It's a hoax.
It is a political line that's been placed there by some politician. And
because they make money off of it.
I have absolutely none liking, let's put it that way, for a politician of any kind. Or liars, or lawyers. I keep mispronouncing that word, damn it. But anyhow, it's like a turn on me. That's A-T-U-R-N-O-N-M-E. That's what they are, a turn on me's, because they are all part of the judiciary. So one of those lawyers or liars cannot represent you under any stretch of the imagination. They have
because there's no legislative authority that gives them authority to represent anyone.
No, they have signed an agreement or a policy of some kind that they will uphold the judiciary. Okay? So they're a part of it. So you can't get a fair trial. You can ask a judge, who pays your salary, sir? And, of course, they're going to tell you the state of whatever, right? And then you turn over to the prosecuting attorney, who pays your salary? Well, the county of. Is the county a subsidiary of the state? Yes. Thank you. Next, the defense attorney that they assign to you. The only reason they assign some bimbo or some dummy to represent you that can't represent you is because he's one of theirs, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he will take you down the path of corruption, if you allow it. But they're all paid by the same thing, so how in the world could you ever get a fair trial? You can't.
No, you can't. Nope.
It's absolutely impossible unless you trap them. So you get their oath of office. It costs you a few bucks at the Secretary of State. You get their oath of office in person or however, okay? and you dangle that in front of them and say, you are going to adhere to this, are you not? That's your signature on there. They start backing down, and they kind of back up until they back over a cliff.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I'll try to be brief here. I was a plaintiff in the action against the Water Bureau because they turned it off on a current bill. There was no liability there. So I sued them. And come to find out, through the archive division of the Secretary of the State, the clerk who masqueraded as a judge did not have an oath of office. He was appointed as a judge, but that's not an oath of office. Yeah, so what I did was...
So
a few days later, I filed a notice and demand and motion to disqualify the judge. And I don't know if the clerk filed it or not, but the opposing party, the defendant, was sent a copy, a CC, and then nothing has happened. So,
of course not. They're protecting their own. It's a gang. Think about a street gang. That's what they amount to.
So I sent 21-page notice and demand and ordered the district attorney in the county I live in to issue an arrest warrant against the clerk who masqueraded as a judge without an oath of office. I never heard from him. About 2 months went by. So a few days ago, I sent him a 10-day notice of fault, an opportunity to cure.
To cure.
Okay,
yes.
So the 10 days haven't been up. So if he doesn't respond after 10 days, I'm going to send him a registered mail, 3-day notice, and I'm going to CC to the state attorney general that this district attorney is not doing his duty.
That's correct. That's how you do it.
And then, I'll hold him accountable. And if the state attorney does not respond, I'm going to sue all of them in U.S. District Court.
I love it. T.G., you have got some amazing listeners. I'm loving this.
Well, thanks to T.J. I mean, he's been educating us. And I've done my own legal research. You know, I also have a honorary law degree through one of those jurisdictionary ones. But I don't advertise myself. I don't have interest in getting a bar card.
Okay.
Yeah. And bar card is not a license, by the way.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a discount card for straight shots down at the bar.
Well, it's a private association.
It's
nothing but a big mafia. And they are a member of that mafia. They protect one another, even if they're wrong.
Yes, I would prefer dealing with the mafia because at least you know where you stand with those guys. Being from Chicago, you know, I know a little bit about that. But, you know, in Chicago, we vote early and often.
All right. You know, I decided not to vote. I have a ballot in my pocket. I went to the library. But then I said to myself, it says here, you have to be a U.S. citizen to vote. I don't want to be a U.S. citizen. I'm an American national. I'm a state citizen.
You cannot be a U.S. citizen because it's a corporation. That's impossible.
Yes, it is. So why should I vote? I want to vote for Trump. Okay?
Oh, you've got that right. I endorse him to all those dummies out there that are registered voters. But,
I agree with you. I mean, I heard you say you're a Trump supporter like I am, but you're not going to vote because you are not a U.S. citizen. How can you be a U.S. citizen of a corporation?
Yes, as a matter of fact, on file, I have a document that I have sent them denouncing citizenship with U.S. Incorporated. However,
sure.
I am an American national, and I will stay that.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. I don't want to hold up other callers on the line. I appreciate you giving me the time and affirming the legal knowledge I've acquired so far, and I'm going to continue to engage myself in legal education and the Constitution and all the rights. I sign without prejudice, UCC 1-308. Case closed. Thank you.
Okie doke.
Well, why is it every time Al gets on the call, he says, I'm going to make a long story short at the end of a long story? I don't understand.
But that's great,
thank
TJ.
You.
You've got You've got some really fine listeners. I really appreciate this. And being able to answer their call, their whatever their questions are immediately is that's part of it, and that's what we both really need to do and concentrate on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I still got a few more. I don't want to take you past probably 7 o'clock here.
That's okay. Yeah, that's my time over here. I have an atomic clock here, and it's coming up on 7.
Okay. Well, then I'll see if we can get one or two more quick ones in. Area code 585, you're up.
Yeah, I actually have a case tomorrow. it was a ticket I got for changing lanes, and it's a three.
Oh my gosh! Okay, that's it. He's a lawbreaker. Get him off the call. He's terrible. He's bad. He changed lanes. Ladies and gentlemen, stand by. He changed lanes.
And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So I went in and I asked the judge. I said, because I've been, you know, doing a little research for a while, but I kind of get overwhelmed. So basically, I went in and I asked the judge, is there a contract that causes me to be, you know, held responsible or required to pay a fine or obey these quote unquote traffic laws. And before I even did that, I asked them because I was researching and I came across a document called a petition for abatement. And I basically was starting to petition for an abatement, and he basically said, oh, it's denied. The only time they do an abatement is if someone dies. And but on the document, it actually states that my name is not spelled correctly, and the reason why let me just read it real quickly to you guys real quick. Come now, it basically has the petition for abatement, and then I have two in the town the town and address of that I'm sending it to. And it's,
what's the essence of it? Because we're very short on time. Just give us the essence of it. What is it? It's essentially making a statement that the name is not yours, the all capital.
Right.
Yours
right.
From that. Okay, got it.
So I actually, he denied me it and verbally. So I mailed it to him, and they never responded to it. But tomorrow I actually have the court date for 6 o'clock tomorrow. So I was going to bring this in and say, listen, I mailed it in to you guys and you haven't responded. And, you know, this is, the purpose why I'm here is because I am a prudent man and I realize that, you know, my right, will be, restricted if I, don't respond to the notice that was sent to the all caps name, because I know that they're trying to send it to me. So, basically I was saying to them that, the purpose why I'm there is because I don't want to be treated unjustly because of not appearing.
Do not use the word me all the time. I've noticed you've done that a few times here. Do not use the word me or I. You are there as a third party representing that artificial entity that was named in the case. Okay? And instead of saying, that's not my name, say it has not been entered into evidence who is on trial here. An artificial entity that you have named on your documentation, or a human being, a flesh and blood human being, which you cannot deal with. Period. Corporations cannot deal with human beings. We can deal between ourselves on private contracts and all that stuff. But corporations cannot, absolutely cannot, deal with a flesh and blood sentient human being.
Okay.
This is factual.
Right, and it's the town name and, yeah. So they basically, I just have to state that they cannot lawfully deal with me, the man, or me, the human being.
Let's get back
to the
beginning.
Cannot. They cannot deal with it.
You said you're going to state something. I caution you about stating anything. Every time you make a statement, who makes statements in a courtroom?
Human beings.
No, defendants.
Defendants.
A defendant is a fictional, artificial. See how quickly you just jumped into the play? A question is what?
As long as you continue to question, you are in charge. The guy asking the questions is in charge. It's the respondent that is the subservient to the questionnaire.
You know, the funny thing, the last time, because the first time I went in, they pushed it out, and I felt like I had a victory. And they basically, when I went back, they adjourned it the first time, and then the second time I went in, they said, you know, even though I didn't put in a plea, they would still schedule me a court hearing without my authorization or you know,
they can't do anything without your authorization. Period.
Well, they schedule a hearing for tomorrow.
Well, they can schedule whatever they want to. It's for them. Are you a member of their corporation?
No, I'm not.
You have a contract?
Are you sure?
I don't have a contract. Well, I have a driver's license. And I have
you have a contract. Okay, that's your contract, my friend.
Well, they haven't, because I drive for work, sometimes. So, but at the time of me being pulled over, I wasn't working and I wasn't, driving.
You say working, is you mean you drive commercially?
No, but, I have to travel from, well, basically I have to have a driver's license for my, because I work for a corporation. That requires me to have a driver's license.
Okay.
So you're driving a company car?
I'm driving my own personal car, but they require that we have driver's license in order to get to customers. And
of course, because they're part of the operation, you see.
Right.
They are a corporation. All right? Corporations are subservient to the Big Mama Corporation, U.S. Incorporated. Okay?
Right.
These are the things we have to understand. We have been bamboozled into listening to all of this crap they feed us, and we take it, you know, as truth. Well, if you investigate, you'll find that it's anything but the truth.
Which I have, and I do understand all of that, and I know that it's false. And but what I'm wondering is defending myself now and saying, listen, because
but only defendants defend themselves.
Well. What I mean by defending myself is being able to continue to operate a motor vehicle to keep food on my table, while being able to travel to and fro. Basically, I want to be able to travel not only for work but for my personal purposes. So the question
is. There is no state in the country that requires a license for a private vehicle used for private purposes, like grocery shopping, traveling, whatever it is, that requires a license. Only commercial vehicles need a license. And any vehicle that has a license plate on it has the state which they're in or part of, okay, written on the back. It doesn't have their name on it. It has the state's name. And because it's this corporation, the car is now, you gave it to them when you registered it, and it's now a commercial vehicle, which requires a commercial operator's license. That's the way the game is played. So when you don't have tags on your car and you don't have a license in your pocket, you don't need it for private purposes. Okay, if you're hauling freight or you're hauling passengers for hire, yes, indeed, you need to have a license.
Okay, but how do I, I've quote-unquote contracted with them, but unwillingly or unknowingly I have. Now, is there a remedy for, like, I go into court tomorrow, how can I, quote-unquote, prevent my, this, my all-caps name from being given 2 points for violating a contract that I'm not even knowing of, you know, that they don't have on record, in other words.
Well, that entity could not commit any kind of a thing. It don't exist. How could it commit? You can't drive a car. It can't give you DNA, RNA, or any other thing. Okay? It's impossible. It is artificial. It was made up by some clown sitting behind a desk.
Still, okay, doesn't apply to you. So the question is, listen, what did we say at the very beginning about what are you going to walk in to do with your birth certificate and your name? If you don't keep repeating that simple script, and you keep, see, I am listening to you talk, and I can tell you believe it's all real.
No,
questioning.
It's not that I believe that it's all real. I'm
questioning it.
I'm in a situation where I need to have.
You're in the same situation everybody is. What do you do before you enter the bar?
That's the whole thing.
That's the beginning. Keep it. You're wanting to think there's more to it than that. Accept they are going to keep offering you party invitations.
Oh, yeah.
You keep showing up and eating the cake.
Yeah.
So the point is go right back to the beginning. If you have to go back to the script, go back to the beginning and just, okay, let's tell it. I'll enter the bar. What am I going to ask a question up, and then I'm going to end it right there. Trust me, they're going to what did I say? They're going to test you 3 times. How many times did Dory, if they had to kick her heels together? By the way, that movie was directly telling you what to do, to get out of the color of law world, the color, in color, living color, technicolor world. You got to kick your heels together 3 times to get back to black and white, get back home, right? So this is a third test. What are you going to do? The same thing.
Exactly. And when you don't deviate, they say, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. Okay.
Exactly. It's a test. They're going to test you 3 times. Be ready for all 3 tests.
I don't want to sound slow, but basically, I have to basically go in and just continue to ask them, is there a contract, basically, right?
Take control. That's what you have to do. Take control. Do not ask them for anything. Do not be a beggar. Don't be a slave on the plantation anymore. You know now that you are not a slave on the plantation, and you know you have to stop contracting to get out of the whole thing. And we will put them all out of business. If there's no contract, they have no business. Mm-hmm. So stand up on those number 12s you got down there, or maybe they're 9s or something.
Yeah, ask your question and leave.
That's right.
Don't wait for them to tell you what to do.
That's right. And do not.
On behalf of this artificial entity, here you go. Here's the birth certificate. Now, do we have any contracts remaining here? No. Okay. Have a nice day. Our business is finished. Stop contacting me. I don't want to come to any more of your stupid parties.
Exactly. And TJ, I've got to make this real strong and understood. If the judge says, well, have a seat over there, we'll get back to you, do not have a seat over there because you're following orders, which makes you subservient to that clown, okay? So you say, no, thank you, I'm standing right here, okay?
That's what he did to me the first time I went in. He had me sit down, and then he actually kept me over the time, and everybody else left, and I was the last one there. And then he basically
said, always do that.
And I basically said to him, is there a contract? Because I don't remember signing a contract that I'm liable for your statutes and your, you know, your laws. And he basically, you know, didn't know what to, you know, how to handle it. And he pushed it off for another date.
Shorten your sentence. There's no contract. Where's the contract? Where's
exactly.
The contract with me?
That's right.
As long as they don't, and if they don't answer, your silence is your acquiescence and agreement that this has nothing to do with me. I'm leaving. Bye. Stop bugging me.
Okay.
That's, I mean, short and simple. I mean, I can't stress it enough.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. Listen, we are over schedule now, so good luck.
We're working overtime.
Don't overthink it.
Okay.
As we used to say in sales, don't go past the close.
Yeah, exactly. And we're both salesmen, so think about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm a salesman, too.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Right. Well, listen, thank you, sir. Listen, that's going to be it for our callers tonight. We have, like, a bunch of more callers. I know we could go probably all night with this.
Oh, I
Maybe
know.
Maybe we'll be able to do this again in the future. And
yes. I'll be glad to. Anytime, just give me a jingle and let me know when you want, and I'll see if I can break loose from whatever I'm doing. I noticed we're on there for over 2 hours tonight. When we started the call, I think there was like 89 or 90 people on the call. And I don't know how many we've picked up since then, if people have been calling others to tune in.
We're probably at over 200 total that have been in and out of the call.
Oh, wow. So it more than doubled. So that's great. Yeah. And I'm really glad that you put a heads up to me and got me involved in this, because I you can probably tell I'm very relaxed in this thing because I know too much. You know what I mean?
You know what, but you can also keep it simple. I appreciate that about you, Chuck. And so, I know that people out there appreciate it. I wish we could get to all your calls in just a limited amount of time here tonight, but we will do it again in the near future for our members.
Yeah.
Those of you out there who are members, remember we do have our premium membership, too, where we have more information, more literature available, more calls, that sort of thing. So be sure to check that out on the website. I won't get into the other subject of the Medicus thing, but I'll probably send an email just sending all the videos so you can review that. And that's kind of how we sponsor some of this. Any other last words of wisdom, Chuck, before we go?
Oh, the only thing I can suggest is stop contracting. Don't let these people stay in business. Our ancestors allowed it. It's time for us to put a stop to them, period. So,
yeah,
and TJ,
what's going on? Let's do it.
You betcha. Yeah, TJ and I are doing our best to communicate to people and try to help them as best we can and re-untwist their minds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Come out of bondage. It's up to us. It really is.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay. Well, thank
you,
sir.
All right, friend. Yes,
and
sir.
Everyone
it's
else,
been my pleasure.
You bet. And everyone else, till next time, thanks again for being on the call.